Ah, just a thought. 21 minutes past six. It's World Jargon Day. Did you know that? Yeah. Well, I know it's World Jargon Day, but it's Drop the Jargon Day. Well, strictly speaking, it's not till the 24th of October. But I believe I was the first person to play Christmas music this year on the radio. It's good to get in early, I reckon. Matt Lodes is the communications coordinator at the Centre for Culture, Ethnicity and Health. Oh, that sounds like jargon for a start. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Red. How are you?
You're the CC at the C for C, E and H.
Yes, I certainly am. And acronyms are certainly not popular when it comes to jargon, so you're right to point that out.
Your particular interest is in the health area?
Yes, well, the Centre for Culture, Ethnicity and Health works with refugee and migrant communities as well as health professionals to kind of get them better aligned, so to improve the health and well-being of migrants. But we've dropped the jargon. It's for everyone, really. It's just basically a day where we hope people at their work will try and be aware of some of the language they use that often is pretty hard for people to understand if they don't have kind of specialised knowledge.
Well, I have complained to doctors about the jargon they use. The one that I find particularly offensive is tummy. Because it's a stomach, you know, call it a stomach. You can even get more specific if there's an area of the stomach that's a concern.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, there's sort of almost two ways you can go with jargon. Like in my workplace, there's a gentleman I work with called Amir, and he's very knowledgeable. He's a doctor, but because he's from Afghanistan, we've had to talk to him about what the word cheeky means, what the words what spit the dummy means. So at one level...
Hang on. I think I know how what the word cheeky generally is understood to mean in this country. What does he think cheeky means?
Oh, no, but it's the same thing. So, I mean, just away from medical language, he didn't know that kind of expression that was something that was, I mean, he's got a very good command of English, but it was just something that was a bit Australian and a bit more informal.
Okay.
But then on the other hand, you know, like my son was sick in April and he had, I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce this properly, a retropharyngeal abscess or something like that, which basically means you have an abscess in the, it means back of your throat in Latin. And I mean, I was...
Say it again.
I'm going to embarrass myself.
So sure, I'll get a million calls and text messages telling me.
I'll be happy to be corrected, but it was retropharyngeal abscess. And it basically
I'm going to go with retropharyngeal.
Oh, that might be the one.
What was the next bit?
Just abscess.
Abscess.
And it just means back of the throat in Latin.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, a bit of a worry. He was in hospital for a week or two. And, I mean, the care was really great. But from time to time, some of the terminology was a bit hard to get my head around, particularly when I was a bit worried.
Just while you're there, I haven't actually done the empathy training here at the ABC, but I hear other people do it and I think it seems like a good idea. How is he?
Oh, he's good. He's all come good. It was very good. It was a bit serious for a while, but it all came good. He's just enjoying the school holidays at the moment. He's fine. Thank you for asking.
Good. Job done. Of course, the other thing I find in regard to the business of medicine, I'll be metaphorical. When you go to the garage to get your car fixed, do you inquire of the mechanic exactly what they're doing and which bits they're doing it to?
Oh, not me personally. I'm not very well mechanically minded. I'm only really interested in cost. But
that's how I feel about medicine. You get examined by somebody with ultrasound, MRI, whatever. Whatever examination they do, I just want them to fix it. I'm not specifically too bothered about specifically what it is.
I understand that, but say if you're someone who, say, English isn't your first language or, you know, if there's some issue with, say, if you have to make a decision about your health and you're not really clear on what's going on and perhaps terminology is one of those things, you know, you're not able to make an informed decision about what's going on. And, you know, it's a pretty intimidating environment, whether you're in a legal setting or a health setting or even, you know, talking to an accountant. So sometimes I think people are a bit intimidated to kind of say they don't understand something. So I think with Drop the Jargon, it's sort of trying to make an opportunity to really think about language from the other person's point of view and try and change things that, you know, that within your milieu or your group, it's quite clear what something means, but to a layperson is a little bit impenetrable.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. I mean, it seems to me if I go to a doctor, a lawyer, a motor mechanic, a plumber, I'm happy for them to make the decision based on their experience.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think, you know, we're living in a time where particularly healthcare is becoming very market-driven. And I don't think doctors and health professionals are looking, you know, to the people they work with, you know, to make decisions. But at the same time, I think they're trying to be much more open and transparent about what they're doing. And I think sometimes when they're doing that, it can create more confusion than is intended, you know, by telling people in more specific detail about what's going on.
I do think doctors are in the position that they have to demonstrate empathy, probably more than most professions. Like a motor mechanic it wouldn't bother me if they liked my car or not.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. But then I think as well, if you look at it, you know, in Melbourne, we've got a very broad range of people. And, you know, I sometimes feel like a lot of people from the medical profession, even if they're drawn from lots of different cultures,
which they are,
are still kind of, you know, intelligent, you know, usually upper middle class or upper middle class people. And so sometimes I think that they, you know, are still kind of have a similar mindset in terms of the way they communicate, particularly with their level of education. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just hard to get out of that. And it's not really, you know, that sort of bias isn't deliberate. It's just, you know, just the nature of, you know, if you're dealing with a lot of complex ideas, sometimes you can forget to do the, you know, some sort of the basic communication stuff. But to be fair, it's not just doctors. I mean, I think sometimes when you're dealing with talking to local government or, like I said, talking to lawyers or even, you know, that they can come across, you know, language that is hard to understand.
The good news is we don't have to worry about this till the 24th of October, do we?
No, but until then, if your listeners, we'd love them to go to our website, which is www.dropthejargon.com.au. They can put in particular bits of jargon that they don't like. Acronyms aren't very popular at the moment. There's some material there that they can gather to promote it at their workplace. There's posters and email materials, that kind of thing. They can also make a pledge. They can just put their name in and sign up to that they think that they're going to drop the jargon on the day. So, you know, that would be really helpful.
Jargon has a peculiar place in people's language where it serves to show that you know a little bit more sometimes. You're better informed than others. I prefer not to use jargon unless it amuses me.
Yeah, well, I've got a background in, I've worked in quite a few universities for a number of years, and I think people who are very good educators are usually people who can get across very complex ideas simply, but without making the ideas, without dumbing down.
Exactly. Well, that makes perfect sense for an educator to be somebody who speaks the simplest of English. Thank you, Matt. Matt Lodes, the CC of the C for C, E and H. It's 6:30.